Hello, everyone. Hi, Jens. Great to see you. It's lovely to be here with you all today. I really appreciate the church giving me some extra time in your day. So, yes, my name is Renee, if you didn't catch that. And I am serving as a missionary in the north of England. And I'm serving with Youth with a Mission. I'll get into that a little bit. But currently, I'm here on furlough, which means I'm taking some time to rest, recuperate, but go around different churches, share about my work, raise support, encourage the church. So here we are. Now, as you might have guessed, I'm related to Rebecca Burley, Catherine Osborne, so that's one of my connections to being here. Oh, thank you. So I think it'll be good to give a little bit of an introduction if you don't know that much about YWAM. I'll be brief on that. It stands for Youth with a Mission, and it's very big on really allowing youth to step into ministry and their part in the kingdom right now. Of course, they have a lot of growth that they need to grow in, a lot of things they need to learn, but there are things that they can really do right now. So that's a big thing for YWAM. And it's not only that, it's also a global missions group. So we're serving in almost every country of the world, which is a huge legacy, but it's been around since the 60s, so God has given it a lot of time to grow like that. I think if there's one thing that you should know about YWAM, the main thing that we're about is our motto, know God and make God known. That is the thing that really drives us in ministry, and it's part of our 18 values from which we structure ministry worldwide. It'll look a little different depending on where you go, but know God, make God known, that should be something that you should see across the board, wherever you go. So that's YWAM. Where am I serving? Up in the north of England, in the beautiful city of York, and I've been there for nearly 5 years with the little YWAM team that we have there. There is myself, there is my coworker Yvonne, and our director Aurora, and together we've been serving York and partnering alongside the churches there in their ministry to reach the whole city. So there's a lot that I could get into of what we've done in the past, what God's brought us through, but I think it's important to share just what's relevant right now. So God has led different churches in York to reach different neighborhoods, and for us, we're serving in the neighborhood of Tang Hall. One of the reasons for that is that it is one of the most deprived areas of York, so we really want to step into that gap that we see and to be able to reach that neighborhood in particular. So there's a lot of things that we're doing there. Currently, the three of us live together in a house, and we're using that house as our base of operations to reach the neighborhood. And, you know, it's mainly through hospitality, actually, whether it's just inviting, you know, our brothers and sisters from the church over for meals to just encourage them, have fellowship, or, you know, our non-Christian friends, have them over and just through hospitality, show them the love of Christ through being in our home. So that's a huge way, but God has really opened a lot of doors for us to reach almost all the different generations in Tang Hall. So we have the toddlers all the way up to the elderly, which is amazing. And a big portion of that is actually reaching the youth in Tang Hall. And I will get into that a little bit more. But beyond just hospitality, there's several different ways that we can minister to the neighborhood weekly. And so beyond hospitality, we sometimes have the youth over in our home. Like, we host it for the youth, like the youth group. There's different homes that they meet in, but our home is one of them. They're allowed to be there. And among that, we want to be able to reach a lot of university students that are living in Tang Hall. So it's another one of the generations that we're trying to reach. And so we're opening up our home weekly for them to come in, join us, be with us, have fellowship. Hopefully we can encourage them. And also, if there are any non-Christian university students, it's a great way that we can gently show them love of Christ, share the gospel as he's there in our home. So there's a few different avenues for that. But the main thing I really want to get into is the youth work. So I think to give a little bit of the explanation, something that we've learned as a team living together in New York for these 5 years is that we have one ministry of really pouring into the local church, just trying to come alongside them, encourage them, pray for them, but also help bring along those that are in the church to really step into ministry and, you know, invest in the city and not just be content, you know, living like their Christian lives privately, but being like, no, you're supposed to go out and share. We all have a part to play in this. But then there's also the obvious expression of ministry, which is evangelism in its many different forms. And something that we've kind of discovered is that for Yvonne and Deborah, although they believe very firmly in evangelism, a lot of their passion and gifting is actually in encouraging and really bringing up the church. My passion and gifting is in evangelism, and it's not just to youth, which I will get into, but God's gifted me with a lot of non-Christian friends in York, so individually I get to come alongside these people, pray for them, and through conversation get to share Christ with them, share the gospel. Yes. Yes. And it's not just myself. Yvonne and Aurora do have non-Christian friends as well, but they've really encouraged me and championed me in my passion and gifting for this. So I'm really grateful for that. So let's get into the youth work. So all three of us ladies firmly believe in the importance of ministering to youth. So again, Yvonne and Aurora, they do pour into the Christian youth in our churches. They mentor a lot of young women, and they have a lot of ways that they pour into children and youth that way. A lot of my passion, again, is non-Christian youth. So a few things that I've had the privilege of doing is joining in with a youth club in Tang Hall called The Corner. My church, YCC, mainly runs it, but as part of my ministry, I join in and help them with that. And I've been part of this club for about 3 years. And something that I've learned is how a lot of youth in Tang Hall really need the Lord. Tang Hall, as I said, is a very deprived neighborhood, so we have a lot of broken homes, which leaves a lot of children and youth very vulnerable to a lot of the different dangers that's out in the world. I'm sure you can guess what those are. And our club actually reaches out to the kids, the roughest kids in the neighborhood, the ones that essentially nobody else would want to go near, would want to talk to. And these kids, although they're not easy to be around, they desperately need love. And our club is one of the ways that God reaches out to them. And so I'm very passionate about this club and what God's been doing. And as an encouragement, there's one particular lad who's been going to our club for about 3 or 4 years. And my prayer support group knows him as Joe, actually. And he, you know, would come consistently to our club. There's a Christian youth camp that he'll go to in the summer that I'm a part of. This past summer, he decided to become a Christian after 3 years of at least myself knowing this boy. And although I want more, like, I want those numbers to grow, the fact that this one soul has been saved has been really encouraging to me, and we love this boy so much. But, you know, please join us in prayer. We want those numbers to multiply. I don't just want him. God wants the whole group that's there. So that is a huge way that I get to minister to the Tang Hall neighborhood, as well as volunteering at the local secondary school, as we call it. You would call it a high school. God's doing a lot in the neighborhood high school, and it's we see little bits and pieces of what he's doing, but I'm there at the school to continue to build relationship with the youth that are there, but also just be ready and waiting for whatever God wants to do there, and just like, God, I'm here, however you want to use me, please take over this school. Because if God took over Archbishops of Holgate, that's the name, if God took over that school, I can only imagine how that would impact the neighborhood as a whole, and not only the kids in our club. I'm also involved in some early intervention coaching where it's helping at-risk children who might drop out of school, just helping them along and giving a hope and a future for their life ahead, and hopefully being able to have an opening to share Christ with them. So that's a bit of a crash course of what's going on. There is so much more happening. So of course, if you have questions after, feel free to come and ask me questions later. But overall, I want to just share a bit of a overview picture, if you will, of what's happening in England right now. I'm talking about the state of the youth in Tang Hall, and unfortunately, you know, the things that they're vulnerable to, it's not just happening to them. it's across the nation. And I think we can all understand, we've been paying attention, haven't we, to how youth are really, like, the enemy understands how important they are to God. And so, of course, he's going to throw whatever he can at them. And so, you know, these rates of, you know, addiction and so many other things is very high in youth. And I just got to be honest that that's the state of things, and especially with the youth in my neighborhood. You know, there's some of them are involved in questionable activity, and our club is one of the ways that we're intervening and trying to get them out of that lifestyle before they're trapped in it for a long time. So that's the state of the nation, but also, unfortunately, Christianity has been considered a minority in the UK for a long time. It is no longer a Christian nation. And you can even see that in certain laws and legislation and police enforcement that you're seeing, you might see on the news, where people even being critical of certain agendas are getting arrested. And it's very unfortunate and can be very discouraging. However, I didn't want to share that and leave you there with that being like, you know, let's all despair. We believe that that's not the end. And I can confidently tell you that God is moving in the United Kingdom, where, especially in England and Wales, church attendance was on the decline. It is now rapidly going up. I quickly have to apologize. I didn't realize it was better to hold the mic up here. So moving on, church attendance is rising again. And guess what? You want to know the generation that is leading that charge? My generation, Generation Z. And so there's, yes, exactly, exactly. So it encompasses youth, and also the youth of the nation is now Generation Alpha, but God is taking back what the enemy has stolen from Generation Z and bringing them into church, and I'm so grateful. So people are reading their Bibles more, people are practicing this active faith, and it's Gen Z. And get this, it is actually more men than women. Which, for me, I've never heard of that before, at least, you know, in the past century or so. So it is so encouraging to see what God is doing. And to add on to that, a very quick story. A few years ago, there was this prayer and worship night where around midnight or so, it was just Generation Z in the house. And we heard about how God was really moving in university students here in the United States in a town called Ashbury. If you want to know the story, I can tell you later. But we were so encouraged to hear about that night, until like the early hours of the morning, it was Generation Z crying out to God for our generation, being like, Lord, you did this in the United States. Do it here in England. Do it again, God. Bring our generation on its knees before you. So we're hearing this thing about, you know, Generation Z is filling the churches. And if you're keeping your ear to the ground in England and Wales, you're hearing whisperings about this thing called the Quiet Revival. The Quiet Revival. It's happening. And it's evidence in that data that I told you about of how church attendance is growing. But we're hearing how, again, Generation Z, especially, but other generations are coming back to the Lord. And so it's the quiet revival that's happening. And we're so grateful. And we're like, okay, Lord, let it grow. And you have done revivals in the past where people in big groups are coming back to you in droves. So we're saying, do it again. Lord, do it again. Do it in our generation. So God is doing it. He is growing. And I think the thing that I'm trying to keep in mind is, as I've understood, you know, the church might face resistance, but that's not the end, and in fact, it makes it grow. So if that's what the British church is going to be facing down the road, I don't want to be discouraged, but want to be looking forward to it in a way and saying, like, yes, finally, the church is going to grow again in the United Kingdom. Let God bring this nation back to himself, because we've been gone for a long time. So that is actually an area where we really need your prayers. We need you to be praying for your brothers and sisters in the United Kingdom, because if things are going to go the way I think it will, we need the encouragement of the church to be praying for us, helping us to be able to face and stand up to whatever might be coming, but also to be ready. We have growth and maturity that we need to move into. We need to step more into holiness again, because I will tell you, the British church has unfortunately dropped the ball on that. So God is certainly calling us to account, but we have to be ready for what's coming. So that's a huge way we need your prayers. We would, of course, appreciate prayers for the YWAM team, for whatever God's leading us into next. Please, of course, I'm asking for your prayers for me. I remember when I first stepped into moving to England, I had asked on like my prayer cards this verse, which I can't, unfortunately, remember entirely, but you know, it was Paul asking for people to pray for him, and he said, like, pray that I can preach the gospel boldly as I should. And so that's still something that resonates with me, like, help me to, you know, pray that I share the gospel boldly as I should, especially to my non-Christian friends who are becoming, in some cases, more receptive to the gospel, but, you know, I want them to actually make the jump, all of them, all 50 of them. So those are, sometimes it's no joke, actually. So that is huge. And I apologize if I've been talking too fast. I hope you caught a thing or two there. But yeah, we do need your prayers, but please overall pray for the British church, especially up in Scotland, because the numbers are few up there, and they are fighting hard to follow the Lord there because there's just so few of them. But we want God to also grow the church in Scotland as well. So I guess on a practical note, if you want to continue hearing about at least my work, I do have a newsletter that people are welcome to sign up for. I also have a prayer support WhatsApp group where people get more like real-time updates. And I apologize, sometimes I get long-winded. I'm trying to stop that a bit, but you get more like in-time prayer requests and updates of what God's doing. That's how people found out about Joe's salvation earlier this year. In addition to that, if anyone's feeling led to support me financially, I will be very grateful for that as well, but there's absolutely no pressure on that, but I can answer any questions in regard to that as well. I guess the last thing I'll add is that as of right now, I'm going to be applying for permanent residency in the UK, which means that I won't have to keep on applying for visas to be able to get into the country. And we'll see what God does with that. My plan is to at least be there till the end of 2026 and see what happens. But that means we have about a year and a half of ministry to go, if not longer. So that's pretty much all from me right now. I hope that this encourages you a bit, and thank you so much for listening. And again, please don't forget to pray for us. We're going to need it. Yes?
But you get permanent residency there, so you can't come back here?
No, I can come back here. I can go between both countries. Yeah, it just means that I don't need extra special permission to get back in there. Yes, so I don't have to give up any of my privileges as an American citizen if I get permanent residency. And yeah, the only thing is, like, if I get that permanent residency, I think I will, I would still have to go to the UK every now and then so I don't lose it. The only thing that gives me absolute, like, permanent place in the UK is if I become a citizen, which is possibly on the table, but we'll see what God leads. But yeah, I will be able to go back and forth freely. Yeah, there's a link. There's a few other options if, like, paying online doesn't quite work, but there is a system set up as well. So yeah, there's a lot of avenues for that. Mainly one, but there's a few. Yeah, so. But yeah, I don't know if there's any other questions, but yes.
When was the last time you were here in the United States? You said you've been over there for about 5 years.
Yes. So the last time I was here in the United States was actually back around Christmas time. I've had the huge gift and privilege of being able to spend Christmas with my family almost every year, except for 2020. So it's a huge blessing to me, and it helps me just recenter and also just keep in touch with some precious little individuals in the family as well as everyone else.
Also, have you seen personally or towards you any strong resistance towards the gospel or any violence or anything of that nature in the area that you're working in?
Yeah. So no violence, thankfully, but more so like intellectually and sometimes just, I was going to say Among peers, not quite. I haven't had to face that much, which I'm very grateful for. The most resistance I get is through the youth, who are just naturally being rather disrespectful anyway. You kind of got to roll with the punches. But I do remember there was one time when I was among a group of friends, which it was hard, but it was also a blessing because I was the only Christian in the room. And, you know, there was this game that they were playing that wasn't super great. And they're like, Renee, sorry, this is so un-Christian. And I think it was partly, you know, a bit of scoffing, but it was also a blessing to understand, like, okay, so people know that I'm a Christian. We're doing something right, at least. So for me, I haven't had to suffer that much, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's, especially youth, like Christian youth in their schools, that they deal with some struggle there because they're often the only Christian that they know, at least in their class. So for them, it's probably harder. And especially also being Christian teachers in school, it's very restrictive on what you can do or say. So there would be that. Yeah. Exactly. Any other questions? Any other curiosities? You're also welcome to come talk to me after, but you're welcome to ask away right now if you'd like. Yeah, Joe? Yeah, so Camden is a rough neighborhood in London. Do you have an extra question attached to that? Or?
Yeah, so when you were in Camden, did you also see a lot of young people coming to the Lord Jesus through the ministry there, or was it kind of more, were people more closed off there?
I would say people were more closed off there. I also didn't have an opportunity to reach out to youth in that neighborhood. That was, London, so York is much easier to reach. London is hard. It's got a lot going on, so it was much harder to actually reach people. I knew of at least one person. Oh yeah, I remember of a homeless guy that came to the Lord, and it was really encouraging to see his process and transformation. But again, like, London is hard to reach, so we didn't see that as much. But hopefully those seeds that we were planting, God has not let the enemy do anything with. So we certainly pray that God will bring about a harvest in Camden, because that would be incredible. Camden's a rough neighborhood. Yeah, so that has been something that seems to be tied in a little bit with, like, some laws and legislation happening. But it seems that the population has grown. I think we're up to about maybe 5%. 5% Muslim right now, and it's interesting. I even just noticed that I noticed a lot more Muslim people in York at one point. So yeah, we have that at the moment, and we'll see what comes from that. But I'm also encouraged to hear many, many stories of how God is reaching Muslims all over the world. So although there could be a risk in some ways, our big thing is to just be praying for them and that God reaches them, and he really has. I have stories that I can tell you on that I've heard from around the world. But yes. 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 So unfortunately, I do not, and I apologize. However, in a conversation with one of the members of my family, maybe I can get some updated cards. Unfortunately, I just ran out of time, but if we have some updated cards, I'll make arrangements to get some dropped off here while I'm here, or maybe once I'm gone, but then you'll have the solid thing there. But yes, thank you for asking that. Yes, anything else? Going once, going twice? Well, thank you all for listening, and of course, if you have more questions, like, I'll be around today. This is just a little bit of an overview, icing on the cake. So thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.